Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, May 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the latest from the Capitol, and farmers face an uncertain year as they begin spring planting. State lawmakers are still without a budget agreement, with the end of the session drawing nearer. Brian Baxter reports.
Stop-and-go budget negotiations have yet to produce a deal among Governor Tim Walz and legislative leaders. A group of top lawmakers and their senior aides have huddled for days behind closed doors without commenting publicly on their discussions. Walz stepped away from the talks to address a law enforcement memorial service in the lower mall of the Capitol. He made an oblique reference to the session's unfinished business.
Shame on us if we can't figure out a way to work with one another. Shame on us if we can't figure out a way to work together to better the lives of Minnesota.
The legislature has until midnight on Monday to complete a new two-year budget if they want to avoid a special session and potential government shutdown. Brian Baxt, NPR News at the Capitol.
Supporters of a bill to ban therapy aimed at trying to change the sexual orientation of gay people rallied in St. Paul yesterday to pressure Republican senators to pass the proposal. A measure to ban what's known as conversion therapy passed in the DFL-controlled House and was tucked into a larger Health and Human Services budget bill. But Senate Republicans defeated a similar amendment. Minneapolis DFL Senator Scott Dibble says there's still time to convince Republicans to support the ban.
We have a Republican caucus that is in turmoil over this. That is because they know. They know in their hearts what the right thing to do is. They know what the right thing to do is on behalf of their family, members of their own family, their friends, their neighbors. And they know that the politics of this situation are such that they are going to be very embarrassed.
Major mental health organizations, including the American Psychiatric Association, oppose the therapy because it starts with the assumption that homosexuality is a mental disorder. The Trump administration has renewed key mineral leases for the proposed Twin Metals copper-nickel mine near Ely. Dan Crocker reports.
The decision means Twin Metals is now clear to submit a mining plan for its proposal to build an underground mine about 5 miles south of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. A mining plan would then go through a multi-year environmental review and permitting process at the state and federal levels. Republican Congressman Pete Stauber, who represents northeastern Minnesota, praised the decision. He said mining can be done while preserving the environment. But mining opponents slammed the move, saying the Trump administration's environmental assessment of the leases was insufficient to determine the impacts of copper-nickel mining adjacent to the Boundary Waters. The move reverses a decision by the Obama administration in late 2016 that had terminated the leases. Twin Metals says it has spent more than $450 million developing the mine proposal and plans to submit a plan of operation in the coming months. Dan Crocker, NPR News, Duluth.
Minnesota's attorney general says that public school districts shouldn't block students from high school graduation because they owe lunch money. Meal-related debt has made headlines in Minnesota in recent years after some schools reportedly started taking away food from kids who weren't current on their lunch accounts. Attorney General Keith Ellison says he doesn't believe state law allows districts to bar students from joining graduation events because their families haven't paid for their lunches.
Graduation is a matter of academic achievement, and that's what it should stay. It should not be, oh, and you paid your student lunch fee, too.
Ellison says he issued the opinion because the state's education commissioner asked for one, and he says it will become state policy barring a lawsuit or court decision to the contrary. Now that spring has finally arrived in Minnesota, farmers are scrambling to get their crops planted. The usual optimism of spring planting is tempered this year by worries about the ongoing trade war with China. Dan Gunderson is following the ups and downs of life on the busy Jensen farm in northwestern Minnesota this year and sends us this story.
Betsy Jensen is always on the move. She teaches farm management in East Grand Forks and counsels farmers who are in financial trouble. And she manages a 5,000-acre farm with her husband Brian and his father near the town of Stephen. Jensen is giving me a quick tour. There are five people working Jensen land today, tilling, fertilizing, and planting.
So this piece here is Jens's. You know, it was Jens Jensen's.
The fields are all named for the people who settled the land decades ago.
I will say probably one of the weaknesses of farmers is their emotional attachment to the land. Land doesn't love you back, you know. We call them with affection. We call them Mabels and Jens's and, you know, Cliffords, but you know what? The land doesn't love us back.
Jensen says that's important to remember when farmers are faced with tough financial decisions. Farming is a lifestyle, but it's also a business. One of the farmers she advises has decided to quit rather than go deeper in debt and risk losing his land. He's planting his last crop this spring. On the Jensen farm, trucks roll through the yard as farmers pick up loads of wheat seed. The Jensens run a diverse operation, growing and selling several varieties of wheat for seed, getting a premium price for the crop. They also grow soybeans, corn, canola, sugar beets, and barley.
Come here, Bella. Kettle.
In the farm office, Bella, the affectionate yellow lab, is banished to the next room while we talk. This has been a tough spring. Wheat and corn seeds should be in the ground by now. If they're planted too late, the heat of July hits while the plants are making seed, and that can reduce yields. But plant the seeds when the ground is too cold, they might not grow. In Stephen, Minnesota, the soil temperature just reached 50 degrees.
And 50 is go time. That's when corn can go on the ground. And so for Pete's sakes, it's May 13th and it's 50, like we just hit 50. That's quite discouraging.
Discouraging is the word for this spring for many farmers. Jensen says farmers accept the risk of weather, but it's hard to deal with the added risk of a trade war with China. Chinese tariffs on crops like soybeans are driving down prices.
We're not used to having the markets yanked out from under us. There's so much uncertainty. We don't know how to handle that. So I guess when nobody gets along, the farmers seem to be paying the price for it, unfortunately.
When we talked in February, Jensen was confident in her farm's financial plan for this year. She tries to anticipate market demand and sell crops throughout the year to spread the risk. This year, they planted more soybeans because soybeans cost less to grow than other crops, and she thought the trade issues with China would be resolved. Now she's second-guessing that decision.
This is China's soybean breadbasket right here. All of our beans go west, and they go into China. And so we are kind of taking it particularly hard.
Because of the low soybean prices this spring, the Jensens considered switching some acres to corn, which needs a lot more fertilizer but might bring a better price.
And then turns out you can't get fertilizer today. And a year ago, we paid $280 a ton for fertilizer. This year, it's $500.
So Jensen says, like a lot of farmers, they will just hope the politics of trade don't wipe out any hope for profit this year. The Trump administration is talking about a second round of tariff aid for farmers to help offset low crop prices, but Jensen isn't impressed.
You can't plan on that. I mean, that does not work well. It's a Band-Aid, but it's not a solution.
The Jensens grow more crops than many farms, and Betsy Jensen hopes one of those crops will be profitable enough to balance the books at the end of the year. She's trying to sound hopeful as she counsels other farmers who are in financial trouble, but she admits optimism is in short supply.
It just seems like we're under a black cloud this year. So I'm waiting for a silver lining, but for now, it's definitely a black cloud.
Dan Gunderson, NPR News, Stephen.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the NPR Newsroom.